Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got Rotten Tomatoes game, and we got the news coming as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Cyber criminals hide malware and emails that look like real invoices, invites, and payment info as well, with a document attached that then clicks to install malware on your computer. Protect yourself. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. This holiday season, you could miss certain threats if you just monitor your credit alone and or bank statements. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information being used and they find out that it's out there and your network's being hacked into, they will send you an alert. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help. But LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam.
All right, want to try to slug this SimpliSafe in?
Yep.
All right, let me tell you about SimpliSafe. Break-ins on the rise during the holidays. So SimpliSafe is having a huge holiday sale, 30% off any system and a free security camera as well. Whether you're traveling or staying put this holiday season, check out the 30% off plus security camera deal before it ends this week. SimpliSafe has been a longtime sponsor of ours. I use SimpliSafe. Many people here use SimpliSafe. U.S. News and World Report called it the best home security of 2020. CNET, well, it gets the editor's choice, and Forbes and Popular Mechanics call it the best of 2020 because you get an arsenal of sensors and cameras, and you can set it up yourself in about 30 minutes. It is the best. It's SimpliSafe, right, Dawson?
Get 30% off SimpliSafe plus a free security camera today by visiting SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Go today. This deal is this week only. That's SimpliSafe.com/Adam. SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
I use sort of what is under what flake and Greek and Celtic language for probably new to avoid the book and ease your tongue, can do no harm, sore and scream. I feel bad, throw to the president. We want to say stay away from the book. However, and you enjoy a lot of sarcastic, we anime, the horrible and cruelly sociality, this book is for you.
Yep. Sounds about right. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
You know when you talk to people and they go, I speak pretty good German, and you go, why do you speak pretty good German? And they go, when I was in college, between my junior and senior year, I spent the summer in Mainz, and I just kind of immersed myself in the culture, and I learned to speak, you know, some passable German. Ozzy has been here for 25 years. And by the way, when I say he's been here for 25 years, I met Ozzy 28 years ago, and we worked together. He may have very well been here for 5 or 10 years before that. His English is exactly the same as it was 28 years ago.
When may have we gone were, worse.
I met him when we were building a gym in Pasadena in 1993, maybe 92, and it's exactly the same.
That's a great point. Like, I don't know the difference in language. That certainly has something to do with it. But like, look at Mel Gibson. He was Australian. And if you see him in his early movies, like, you can plainly hear he has an Australian accent. Now he doesn't talk with one when he disparages the Jews and otherwise. he does it with a perfect American.
In the Queen's English.
But yes, right.
Maybe he should be heralded as a hero, because it's like he's like, you know, in those commercials for like Jack Daniels where they go, we've been doing it the same way for 250 years. Maybe that's like Ozzy. Maybe it's like, I don't change. I don't care which way the wind is blowing with your linguistics.
It's a proud tradition.
I have a proud tradition of nobody understanding what the fuck I'm saying since 1992. All right. Shall we play?
Hey, wait. Yes. I know you're going to jump into this, but Bald and I had a little dust up on social media as we talk about this yesterday, and Gina as well. Uh-oh. The Departed. Scale of 1 to 10. It's in the spirit of Rotten Tomatoes. Give it Adam Carolla's, not what you think other people rated. The Academy Award winning picture by the legend Martin Scorsese. Scale of 1 to 100. What do you give it?
Well, Scorsese's always competing with himself, like Tarantino's kind of competing with himself now. And it's really hard to judge a Scorsese movie or a Tarantino movie without comparing it to other movies they've done before that. But I would say, and I didn't really study the movie. I haven't seen it multiple times and that kind of thing. But it feels like an 8 out of 10 for me. It doesn't,
8 out of 10.
It doesn't feel like a 10 or a 9, but it feels like an 8 out of 10. But again, if it was from some unknown director and it wasn't from, you know, Raging Bull and Casino Guy and all that kind of stuff, then I might have it higher. But and I really haven't studied it. Like, I'm not that familiar.
That's really funny that you said 8 out of 10, because when Sheck said out of 100, I was trying to calculate my answer. And when you said yours, I was like, maybe I should come up with a different answer. Out of 100, I said 80.
Yeah. Huh.
It's right there.
Bald and I just were going back and forth. Big fan of the Carolla show. Eli Honig is a great fella, and you see him on cable news talking about all the legal matters afoot in society right now. And he bounces off of Bald for movie stuff. And they were going back and forth about, oh, it's a great movie. It's maybe not his best, but it's great.
I think I said really good.
I said it's very poor. And then Bald attacked me, and he said, I know your whole bit is hyperbole, but
it is.
Like, my whole bit is hyperbole. I don't even know what that even means, but
this is the best fruit, and this is the worst jersey number matchup, and this is the best
those
ever lived.
I make factual
it's funny, but it's your thing.
I make factual statements, and by the way, getting off this, first of all, if he's an evil crime lord, Jack Nicholson, I think he would be able to divine which guy is the mole in his longstanding criminal enterprise. The new guy who used to be a cop who's 5 minutes into the gang, or the guys who have been around for 20 years? Well, I don't know. Who could it be? But I'll say this, though, try and turn it into a happy direction. Have you guys been eating your Honey Crisps and your Envies? It is prime time for the apple right now.
Look at the one right now, Dave. Look at the one right now.
We're coming up very quickly on the Shecky Awards, including Fruit of the Year. And apple, like it does every year, coming on strong. Clutch.
Ugh. Apple. Ugh. There's no reason for an apple in my life. There's too many other good fruits.
You don't like things that taste good?
Has the nectarine ever won?
No, and it never will.
Then it's null and void.
Why would I eat a nectarine in a world that includes peaches? Peaches are better versions of nectarines.
Nectarines are better versions of peaches, because the only thing that's wrong with a peach is the skin, and the nectarine has solved that problem.
Yeah, but it's a little too firm for this reporter's, for this analyst's feet.
I'm telling you, it told the fuzz to take a hike. And
nice.
And now I'm telling you, when I lived up in Beechwood Canyon, up under the Hollywood sign, I planted a nectarine tree in front of my house, and I would harvest those bad boys. And I'd chop them up into wedges, and I'd put them in a big bowl, and I'd take a little bit of that syrup from Trader Joe's. Would have like a boysenberry syrup or something, and I'd put a little bit of that, and then I'd put some fresh whipped cream on top of it, and it was the most delectable dessert ever. All right, let's play the Rotten Tomatoes game, shall we, Dawson?
Okay,
party's on.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dawson names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
Best
the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
The other thing I learned from living in that house and planting my own garden is zucchinis are exactly like people, which is too small, no good. Let them go, they get too big and weird and mealy. You have to catch them right at, you know, 6'1". You know what I mean? There's a prime size. Zucchini's one of those things where you go, hey, if you like a 8-inch zucchini, you're going to love a 40-pound zucchini. No. They go south just like people do. Sorry.
That is absolutely right. I'm reminded of 6 degrees of separation when they talk about the second grade teacher who's like, I just know when to take the children's paintings away at the exact, like, first graders, too sloppy. Right. Third grade, just a big mess from too much painting. That's exactly right. And this applies to fruit and vegetables like nobody's business. A giant tomato. Well, that it's more tomato. It's got to be better, right? Wrong. Well done, Adam Carolla.
Thank you. Here we go. Yes, and.
This past week was Veterans Day, but it's never too late to pay tribute to the brave men and women who've protected this great nation for a few hundred years and change. In honor of them, this week's Rotten Tomatoes game is themed around the toughest of the tough. To all of you out there, thank you for your service. First up, Bradley Cooper stars as U.S. Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, one of the most lethal snipers in American history. The film co-stars Sienna Miller and is directed by the legendary Clint Eastwood from 2015, American Sniper.
2015, yeah. You know,
there's a scene in this movie, and not the fake baby. I'm over the fake baby.
Hold on, that fake baby is 6 now, Gina.
God, I feel old.
Time flies.
Oh, yeah.
That is so chilling. You guys all saw this, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a really solid movie.
When he's staring at the TV, but you just see his face, and you hear, like, the war noises and the bombs, and like, he's watching something really intense, and then it turns the camera, and the TV's off.
Yeah.
And it's just because he's just living in his head. I found that, I mean, that scene just really sticks with me.
This is a very good movie. It's a little, I think it's after the Clint Eastwood talking to the empty bar stool.
It sure is.
Right. So there's a couple of minus points for Clint Eastwood and his politics on this one, but it's still high. And in all honesty, I've looked it up before, but I really have no, I shouldn't say I have no idea, but I can't remember the exact number for sure. I am going, you guys locking it in?
That's right.
I'm going to say 86.
It went a little higher. I think it was up for Best Picture, 90.
I went a little lower because of Clint. I said 82.
Ooh, I'm the low man on the totem pole then, because Adam is exactly right. I think there was some pushback from the film critics on it and the message it delivered. 73.
Mm. Mm. American Sniper is certified fresh. At 72%.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
This is Clint taking a beating because of his politics. That's all. This is a fucking
damn
good movie.
Damn a check.
Next up, an all-star cast is assembled to tell a harrowing story of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. The film has its moments of sweeping drama and romance, but stay for the 40-minute-plus action sequence directed by blow-em-up extraordinaire Michael Bay. Ben Affleck, Josh Hartnett, Kate Beckinsale, and Cuba Gooding Jr. lead the cast of 2001's Pearl Harbor.
Never saw it.
There's some great moments in
this
movie.
You can
in
do
this 2.5-hour movie.
You can do a lot worse in this movie. Speaking of Clint Eastwood, is this how movie reviewers should work? Like, I'm going to watch the movie, then I would like to know who the director voted for so I can help me inform my score. Like, maybe you should remove that from your score. All right, this movie is eye candy, tons of fun. It's kind of sad that movies that are this big and sweeping and whatever with Doolittle and Baldwin and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of sad that these movies just get sort of punished because they're like, it's big and it's over the top and it's whatever. Because it's fun.
I'll tell you right now, this is a stupid movie. This is a bad movie. It's way too long. There's some great moments in here, but there's a melodramatic love story called Love Triangle between him and Josh Hartnett and Kate Beckinsale, and no one gives a fuck about, but it goes on for 45 minutes. Like, it's got some good moments for sure, but it's not a good movie.
Well, in the sense that it's kind of like Armageddon or something. Like, you can just watch it. You can just put it on. But
that's why Michael Bay shouldn't have tackled this one. This is one of America's great tragedies. Michael Bay shouldn't be making that movie. He should be making Transformers. It leads to people like Adam Carolla calling it a fun movie.
It's fun. What do I want to tell you? You can show up any time in this movie. You can turn it. You can land in the middle or the beginning or three quarters in, and you can just watch it. It's visually
stunning. I'll
tell you what. Stunning.
What I love about it is it looks like Hawaii in the calendar year 1941. Had to have been heaven on earth until the attack. It looks like, I mean, like, man, just drop me there. Let me live there for eternity.
Yeah, and during all the zeros, they're showing all the zeros fly in over the kids.
That's spectacular.
Yeah, that is cool.
There's a lot of fat on this movie, man. Chris, how long is this movie? It's interminable.
Oh, it's not interminable. Come on, I just watched Face Off for the 56th time last
That's
night.
That's a good movie.
Look, I'm saying not all food is fine cuisine. There's junk food. You know what I mean? This is a junk food movie. It's not a healthy movie.
In the same way, I don't like The Patriot with the aforementioned Mel Gibson because it feels popcorn, and it's like, can't somebody make a cool movie about the revolution?
Three hours.
Are we missing that?
3 hours this movie is, plus.
Jesus.
All right. Well, look, the critics didn't like it, but how much didn't they like it? And like I said, the battle scenes were great when they were attacking the airfield and everything. Tom Sizemore. All right. Let's see. The critics didn't like it, but how much didn't they like it? I'm going to say 47.
Ooh, I'm taking a chance here because the one thing I remember about this movie is they flew all the critics out to Hawaii for a week. And I think it may have gotten a little bump because the critics were enjoying themselves. So I went with 64.
Wow. I did not know that they got a vacation out of it. I said 49.
The inner workings of movie critiquing. Who knew that there were so many politics?
Chris, look that up. I'm pretty sure.
53 I'm going to go with here.
Pearl Harbor is rotten at 24%.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Screwed myself on that one.
Oh, my God.
What'd you say, Brian?
64.
Oh, man.
Which, it's a really bad movie. I just thought the critics were hoodwinked.
This next film tells a fictional story about the U.S. Navy allowing the eventual integration of women into what is essentially the SEAL program. One woman, played by Demi Moore, is the single trial candidate, and her grueling commander, played by Viggo Mortensen, pushes her to the edge, directed by Ridley Scott from 1997. It is G.I. Jane.
Never
ashamed.
Saw it.
I've never seen this movie.
Me neither.
Me neither. Whoa!
Definitely came up with the title before the movie. All right. None of us have seen
Ridley
it.
Scott.
Shaved head points.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get critics will give it a couple extra points for the women, you know, women living in a man's world and overcoming and all that kind of stuff. That's good. But I don't know if this, Brian, you never saw this?
I know, and I love Ridley Scott, too, Alien and Blade Runner and all that great shit. I never saw this.
I just want to say that this was when Demi Moore was in her courageous phase. Mm-hmm. This is when she did the striptease movie, and for her to put herself out there like that was courageous, as it was for her to shave her head. It was courageous.
Mm.
I mean, wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. When people with great bodies show it off on film, that's
brave.
That's a hero. So
brave.
That's a hero. Yeah. Brave would
that's
be my mom
Amy Schumer.
Getting naked. Yeah.
That's a great Amy Schumer joke when she said, you know, she posed nude on the cover of like Vanity Fair or something. And she goes, one word was associated that you never want people to say about your naked body. Brave.
Right. God, I the person I wished who could reel it in a little would be Chelsea Handler. Don't you feel like her I'll get naked if you vote for Biden? Like it's she's 45 now. Like, isn't it a little
Who is swayed?
I don't know. Like, at a certain point, like, yes, you're blonde and you're not fat, but let's bring it in a little bit. All right. Well, now Ridley Scott's good, but again, couple points for a woman living in a man's world. I have no ever loving idea on this one, and that's why I'm going to say 67.
Ooh, in honor of our guest, 66.
Oh, the great Lemieux.
65.
We're all in the same place. I got 68 there, and that's exactly right. She also gets great credit, as if it impacts our enjoyment or otherwise of any movie. But she was hailed because she took the time to get herself fit.
Yes, you know?
She was like the Saving Private Ryan, as we've talked about before. Like, hey, we understand what it was to be a part of D-Day, to be out there on the beaches of Normandy, because we did boot camp for 3 days. And Tom Hanks, some of us were like, we don't want to sleep in these tents another night. But Tom Hanks, he became the captain because he said, we are staying here and we're going to endure this. And we made it 72 hours. So pretty much we are the people who saved America back in the mid-20th century. Same thing for Demi Moore here.
Well, I don't want to crap on your point, but she did kick open the door so that all the ladies could become Navy SEALs.
Mm.
Okay. There you go.
Except for there's no lady Navy SEALs.
Sub-Zero.
When I was doing the Trump roast, not the Trump roast, when I was doing Celebrity Apprentice, and I was supposed to be up there telling jokes and I was roasting Trump, the guy whose team I was on was Arsenio Hall. And I said, Arsenio Hall, what a trailblazer. I mean, this first black man to do a popular syndicated late night talk show. And this guy blazed the trail for Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and Conan O'Brien and Fallon. Just name 9 white guys. Nobody got the joke. Including Trump. All right, what do we got?
G.I. Jane is rotten.
Oh.
At 51%.
Okay.
Wow, really?
This game is fairly tight, I would say.
Nick Cage stars in our next war film.
Yeah.
Playing a Marine assigned to protect one of the Navajo code talkers.
Yeah.
An extremely important secret weapon in the World War II Pacific Theater. Everyone knows the code must be protected, especially when capture is imminent. Co-starring Mark Ruffalo and Christian Slater, from director John Woo, 2002's Wind Talkers.
Yeah.
Saw
this. True story. Great concept for a movie.
Great concept. Got it.
I
haven't seen it, so I can't say.
I had no attraction to this movie, and I love World War II movies. Why? I can't figure out why I didn't want to. You know,
because you don't like Woo.
You describe
Woo pictures as gay porn.
I don't like films that
he did Face Off, didn't he?
I know he did.
I don't like films that glorify indigenous people. So that's an issue for
that's
me.
That's a code you can crack.
Of any country, by the way, it's not just
any
ours.
Era.
Wait. It's the producer outside of Cantor's talking to you. No. Understand? I'm talking about all people.
All right. Well, they have to.
I don't like anyone not like me.
They have to like the theme of this movie, right? I mean, right? I didn't see it. I have no damn idea. This could really put some daylight between some of us here. All right. Based on indigenous people saving the day and some politically woke points, although this is kind of pre, what year was this?
2002.
Okay, this is pre all that woke time. I am going to say that even though I heard nothing good about it, 78.
Ooh.
I'm playing from behind, so I got to swing for the fences, 49.
Ooh.
I may have split the difference. I think the subject matter is interesting, and that's probably all the points it got, 61.
I'm going 51 here because this is Nick Cage when he's still respected. And the fact that he is, Like, he's one of the great actors of the generation at this moment in history. The fact that we don't know much about this movie means it was neither great nor terrible. People are just indifferent about it. That's why I went close to the median there, 51.
Wind Talkers is rotten.
Oh.
At 33%.
Oh, yes. No. No.
Clip a little bit on that one.
Oh, right? Boy.
And finally, we salute the soldiers of the future. Yes, even centuries from now, when humans are locked in a deadly battle with giant alien insects, we know we can count on soldiers like Johnny Rico to lead us to victory. Casper Van Dien, Denise Richards, and Neil Patrick Harris star in 1997's Starship Troopers.
What a cast. One of my favorite movies.
I love this movie, but did the critics get it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember exactly when it came out, Ace. This is a tremendous picture for real. So many great moments in this one. Michael Ironside steals the show. I'm trying to remember, to your point, Ace, did the critics feel like, what is this ridiculousness? I feel like that was more the reaction to it than people getting the satire of it.
But there's a great subversive message in this, but you're right. I wonder if the critics picked up on it with all the bug blowing up.
I love bug movies.
God damn, I love this movie.
And also it has just a bizarre sort of generic title, Starship Troopers. You know, it seems like a clearable title for a comic book that you're using
it was a TV novel show.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, and. Yeah, but still. All right. I'm off. So I got to go big or I got to go small. Now, you guys, we all agree we love this movie, but did the critics get it? I'm going small with 41.
Ooh. Ooh, well,
I'm going the opposite direction. I'm hoping there are some contemporary reviews that raise it up to a 78.
71.
I'm going to go with a percentage of the critics getting it enough. I'm going to give it 60. Big range. I bet this movie has about as big a range of numbers as any picture out there.
Starship Troopers is fresh.
That's it.
At 65%.
Okay.
It's going to be a close game. Right.
Yes. For many of you. It shall be close.
Well, the scores are in. Gina Grad, you made the podium. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bald Brian.
Yeah, buddy.
You also made the podium.
Oh, thank God.
Congratulations with a score of 102.
That's not. Oh my God. I'm not proud of that.
Made the podium?
Edging out the Ace Man's 122.
Oh, boy.
Leaving us Gina Grad and Dave Damashek.
Ooh.
Gina Grad, your score considerably lower than the other two, clocking in at 83.
Ugh. I'm going to just declare nobody's a winner in this game. Nobody.
I'm on board with
that. This was good science.
No! Shut down the poll. Stop the vote. Shame the devil. We're finishing this thing.
Dave Damashek.
All legal.
Joined the party late. Made a nice solid run at the end, but was it enough to best Gina's 83? Dave, I got to tell you, the fourth person who joins this game never wins. And per Adam's edict, that is exactly what happened here. Although you do take the top score at 70.
Wow.
That is unheard of.
Unheard of.
I don't like that, Rhea. I reserve rousing cheers from everybody. What else is new, everybody? What did I tell you? Everything's coming up, Damashek. The Steelers, the Indiana Hoosiers, apples in season, and now this.
David, I got to give you your due. We have professional actors on this program that don't do as well.
With their own movies.
Well, I got to say, you guys gave me a real playground to take some chances in, and that's why I got into the business in the first place. So it's exciting.
Thanks for letting us into your process.
All right, let me hit blinds galore, and then we'll do some news. Black Friday and Cyber Monday are right around the corner. Visit blindsgalore.com today to order up to 15 free samples, and be ready with when the big sale starts November 24th. Blindsgalore.com, give any room an incredible makeover with custom blinds, shades, and shutters, even shades that connect to your smartphone and smart home, your smartphone, Amazon Alexa. I have those in my bedroom. They have the one that just have a remote, or you can use your phone with it. Family owned and run for over 20 years. Do it all from home. Just take the measurements, customize it online with your Build a Blind tool, and you'll be able to see exactly what your blinds and shades look like on screen. We use them here everywhere. Dr. Drew's got them. We put them in my house. We put them in the edit bay. We put them in the shop. Save a ton compared to big box stores with Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
BlindsGalore.com makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag. Get free samples now so you'll be ready for the Black Friday sale, where everything will be 50% off. That's BlindsGalore.com. Let them know Adam sent you.
All right, quick break. Back with the gang and news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we have some potentially bad news, and we'll definitely keep you posted, but former LA Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda reportedly hospitalized with heart issues and is in serious condition. He's 93, Hall of Fame manager. He was admitted to a hospital last week. He's on a ventilator. It's not coronavirus related, reportedly. And Lasorda has had health issues. He suffered what was a mild heart attack about 8 years ago in New York. He is the oldest living Hall of Famer.
By the way, this isn't bad news. This is good news for people that want to eat pasta every night and never work out. You know, you may see your 90th birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Lasorda was in horrible shape in the, you know, 77 World Series or whatever year it was. I mean, it's all just genetics. We love to talk about everything and how this guy, what happened to this guy? He lived too close to the power lines and now he got cancer. Like we try to ascribe a meaning to everything. Tommy Lasorda has probably just led a life of, you know, drinking red wine and, you know, eating fettuccine every night at midnight. And he made it to the ripe old age of 93.
That's true.
Jim Fricks wrote five books about jogging and never saw his 55th birthday.
Yeah.
Kids,
remember,
you listening?
Remember, he was a Slim Fast spokesperson?
I brought it up once on the show, but the pitch was a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and a sensible dinner. And in comes a fucking pile of pasta, right, of spaghetti and meatballs, like a Lady and the Tramp pile of pasta.
It is crazy, though, so that would make him... when they, like you mentioned, those late 70s World Series against the Yankees, 77 and 78. So he was what? So he's 50-ish for those? I mean, he has not aged. I haven't seen him in 6 months or whatever. But, I mean, he's one of those guys like Sparky Anderson or Angela Lansbury who got to an age at, like, was premature. Wilford Brimley, another one.
Steve Martin.
Like 42, like they look 42 and they look exactly that way. And also Tommy Lasorda, when I was growing up as a kid, that was the first sign of like, why does the old man dress like a baseball player when he just sits there the whole time? He is the personification of how bizarre that still is in 2020, that they dress the old man up like they're going to go out on the field and play a game. What is the point of this?
You know, the rule should really be, you can wear the uniform of the team you preside over, but only of the fattest player who's currently on the field. Like, you cannot go triple X past that guy, you know? Find the huskiest guy on your team. That's what it is. If not, then we go to jogging suit. You
the Dodgers trade for Pablo Sandoval today.
Right. You can't be, because when you're the fat guy in the outfit, it kind of destroys the uniform, right?
Yeah. At least the seams on the uniform.
Hey, you know, Lasorda, I was going to say my favorite Lasorda joke, but There's only one I know, and he's probably told it, you know, 10,000 times, and it'll be the first joke he tells St. Peter. But these guys do these banquet circuits, you know, and they always start off with a joke. And people, Tommy sort of say this joke. Like, people would say to me, am I starting Mike Piazza because he's Italian? And I'd say, no, I'm starting Mike Piazza because I'm Italian. Well, the man's hooked up to a respirator right now, and you guys aren't laughing?
Give him a courtesy chocolate leash.
Please.
That's also Tommy Lasorda. Adam Carolla had a direct experience. Went to spring training. I've said it a million times. I'll say it for the million and first. He told Adam Carolla, if I would have gotten you at 19, I could have put you in the major leagues. And Adam Carolla believed it.
Yeah, because he was serious and he said it to me.
1,000 people.
By the way, this is the difference between men and women, Gina Grad.
What?
I went to try out with the Dodgers on spring training for a man show bit. I happened to make a pretty good showing of myself over there. I had some baseball skills back in the day, took batting practice, fielded, so on and so forth. Lasorda took notice, and sometime later, about a couple years later, when he showed up on our radio show, he said earnestly that I had good potential and that if he'd got hold of me when I was 18 and thrown me 100 curveballs a day, I could have made it to the show. And then here's
Michael Jordan didn't make it. Why would you?
Well, he didn't have Tommy Lasorda throwing him. He didn't have when he was 18. He didn't have Lasorda throwing him 100 fastballs.
Talking to Jeffrey Ross.
This was not prompted. I did not ask him about it. He volunteered this earnestly. And the man, Mike Piazza aside, does not kid. Okay?
I see.
Now, the difference between men and women is if you heard one of your female friends have this compliment laid at their feet, you would have been very encouraging about it.
Absolutely.
Sheck went nuts and started screaming at him to take it back.
Take it back.
But he didn't say that, Adam, because you're Italian. He said it because
right. He meant it. Right. Oh, listen, I was there at spring break. I played pretty good. I took good BP. You can see it on the man show. I played outfield. I cracked a home run when I was batting.
I've seen you swing. You know what you're doing with the lumber.
All right. Well, evidently you're not the only one.
So more specifically, the difference between men and women is Damashek will say it right then and there to your face. Take it back. Take it back. Women will say, did you hear that? I always told you you're a star. And then go home and tell their boyfriend, can you believe that she bought that? She thinks you're good enough for what now?
It goes back to the puking in the toilet. The girls hold the other girl's hair back. The cousin Sal says, let's torture Damashek.
Yes.
Well, we do have some breaking Rick Moranis news, which isn't something we've probably said in a couple of decades.
Come on.
The suspect is in custody.
Who punched
in
him?
Connection to the random October assault. I have the video of actor Rick Moranis. And watch the top right corner. I'll show it to you real quick. He's just up near Central Park. And that dude, we'll watch it again, the dude in an I Love New York shirt, I don't know if you could see it,
punches him
and then just keeps walking. So police were questioning this dude. He's 35 years old, brought him in for booking Saturday night. He lives in Manhattan. He has a history of 13 arrests, including 5 felonies. And Moranis is 67 years old, minding his own business one morning on his way to his nearby apartment. And this dude just knocks him to the ground. And I guess luckily, Moranis suffered some head pain, back pain, hip pain, but didn't crack his head open, didn't go down Andy Dick style.
The scariest members of society are the random acts of violence on random people with nothing to gain. People, the folks that
steal his wallet.
Right. Or the folks that like insurance fraud, or they torch their warehouse to try to collect on the whatever. Those people don't bother me because they don't affect me. The walking down the sidewalk, punch you in the face people. Those are amongst the scariest members of our society. And he probably won't get as much time or maybe even any in our new world order. But these are the scariest people around that can just sock people in the face that are going down the sidewalk.
Yep.
Well, and 13 arrests and 5 felonies, like, system's not working. Whether it's rehabilitation or keeping somebody away from society, it's not working.
At a certain point, it's a pattern.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say this is
bizarre. And of course, everybody loves Rick Moranis. But also, I don't think I've ever asked you about this, Ace. Were you a Strange Brew, a Bob and Doug McKenzie fan growing up?
You hoser.
It was kind of one of those bits that had a bunch of sort of catchphrases and stuff. Like, it's a fun bit when you're young. But I don't know that it would hold up now that you have your sort of comical intellect in place, Brian.
I saw it for the first time maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Atrocious. Impossible,
really?
Impossible to get through.
Maybe
impossible.
That's
wow.
Maybe Ace has hit the nail on the head, because I saw that in the theater and thought it was really one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life.
There's a time and place element to it.
I haven't seen it in 15 years or so, but yeah, it was. I thought it was hysterical at the time, and wow. I loved the album, The Great White North. I listened to that every night.
Whenever there's a lot of catchphrases like take off and hoser and stuff like that, it usually means there's something missing. There's some other content that's missing. Strange Brew, 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. So says Max Pata.
Well, have a different kind of fighting story. A 200-person unlicensed fight club in New York has been disbanded by sheriffs. That happened over the weekend, according to NBC. Attendees of Rumble in the Bronx, so this has a name, was discovered drinking, smoking, fighting. And what do you think the biggest criticism was for a 200-person fight club?
Yeah, they talked about first rules.
Masks. No masks.
Oh, no
right?
masks.
Yeah.
It's not that they're beating the shit out of each other and starting their own speakeasy. It's that they weren't wearing masks. This was around 11:15. New York City sheriffs entered the Coster Street warehouse, found the crowd watching and participating in the fighting. And in a tweet, the sheriff said loaded firearms were discovered. 10 organizers were charged with multiple crimes. And this dude, Michael Roman, he's the CEO of Rumble in the Bronx. This company is facing 8 charges, including unlawful assembly, conducting a prohibited combat sport, and I would imagine also not social distancing.
Yeah, they have these bare knuckle fight associations, by
the way. Is
that
like backyard brawls?
Yeah, it's the white version of it. The white guys do it in a warehouse. The brothers do it in the backyard, but it's still kind of the same thing. And you know, it's kind of akin to those sort of street racer things and stuff where they meet at a certain point and do their thing and try to get out there before the fuzz shows up. My thing, if I was a cop, would be I wouldn't have a lot of rules, but I wouldn't enter warehouses. That would be my thing. You know what I mean?
Like, as a cop, you wouldn't enter warehouses.
I would make it be known while I was at the academy. Like, hey, I don't do warehouses.
I don't do windows, warehouses.
Well, this is like if you're vegan, you know what I mean? And you show up to work, you know, and you go, hey, we're doing lunch. You just go, I'm vegan. I don't do warehouses. That's my whole thing. I'll do schools. I'll do synagogues.
Hospitals.
Bouncy castles. Whatever you need. I just don't do warehouses. You know, I'll do wharfs. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I won't do a warehouse at the wharf.
Do a batting cage.
I'll do batting cage, putt-putt golf. I do it all except for warehouses. I'm just never going to a warehouse.
I was watching Patriot games last night, and they had one of the – I mean, that's got to be – one of the more frequent events that happens in movie history is chasing somebody in the subway, and then they get into the subway car just a split second before the doors close, and then the other guys chasing them are on the other side, like shaking their fists, like, I'm going to get you! And the other guy, like, sits down. Whew, that was close.
It's never been improved upon after French Connection.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, even though it's been tried literally hundreds of times. And if I were a cop, I would be like, I'm not doing the subway chase because it never works out anyway. That's a lot of time and effort for something that I can tell you here and now ain't going to go our way. So just let him go.
Right. I agree. But also, sometimes the guy, the criminal who gets away, is a little smug as he looks through the window at him as they take off. You know what I mean?
Of course. That's part of it.
I feel like I would be more contemplative. You know, I'd be sort of like, hey, you're a human. I'm a human. You're just doing your job. I know this is nothing personal. Maybe.
In another life, we'd be friends.
Yeah, another life, we'd be friends or cohorts. And I'd kind of look at him. You know what I mean?
You'd think the employee, though, in the booth, given how many times it happens in the movies, it's like 11 times daily. Like, they always react like, When the first guy comes through and jumps over the bar and doesn't pay the toll,
right.
And he jumps over, they're always like, hey, get back here.
Right.
They always do that. Like, you'd be like, oh, we got another one. What else is new? You know?
Right.
Yeah, they never turn around.
I watched a movie last night. Brian said he's seen it. I'd never heard of it. And it was, as Brian says, better than it needed to be. If people who don't live in L.A. want to see the L.A. that we see, the L.A. we're talking about, check out the movie End of Watch. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, with Jake Gyllenhaal and
Michael Pena.
Solid movie.
It's like a more like a grittier, more realistic Training Day about cops patrolling, you know, parts of L.A.
It's a buddy movie. It's like the whole movie is like a dash cam.
Yeah, really well done. And again, if you want to see the non-glitzy part of L.A., check it out. So tourism is tough right now on a lot of people. There are few and far between places that are actually begging people to come. In fact, most of them are not. Turkey was welcoming people a few months ago. Now that's not really happening. Other destinations have opened their doors partially, then they closed them. Now CNN compiled a list of 40 nations. I didn't bring them all, but 40 nations that aren't open to tourists yet. So if you can get yourself a work visa, you know, Godspeed, do your thing. But there are no vacations happening in the following places that some of the more notable places that I think people would be interested in. Chile, Canada, British Virgin Islands, Saudi Arabia, Israel, New Zealand, Australia, Vietnam, Thailand, Philippines, Japan, India, and China.
Mm.
Don't bother making any plans anytime soon.
Wow. So what about sex tourism? Is that off the table or do we have to kind of stay on the mainland for
that? Tourism's right in the name.
No tourism.
Mm.
I wonder if they ever had serious discussions about changing the name of that country, Turkey. Seems weird that they didn't. It's like a cell phone at some point. Like, you know, that's like a bird that creates foul stench if you're near a turkey slaughtering house. It smells something awful. You know, maybe we should get off that and change and rebrand ourselves.
It's like a Michael Bolton Office Space kind of thing. It's like, why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks.
Fair. A talentless ass clown.
Well, what's turkey mean to turkey? Do they eat turkey? Do they have turkey? Do they call it turkey? Do they call it something else? I mean,
same thing as chili. Are they chili aficionados?
Chile aficionados.
But would I order? What if I ordered a turkey sandwich in Turkey?
It's an interesting question.
I'm looking it up.
I want to find out how that experience would be. I also know.
Or would you get a how dare you? You know. Order.
Not here, not in this house.
In Turkey, sir? Good day. Leave our land and never return.
I know Mark Garagos, who's Armenian, hates Turkey, I think. I think he's always talking about
it. Oh, yeah. They got beef.
In a place.
They got a beef or they got turkey?
They got beef.
Yeah. There's always – let me just say something. I don't have the heart or the guts to say it to Mark's face, but understand, I put the ugly in American. Stop trying to get me to be interested in whatever's going on in your land. I'm not. I'm much more interested in how the Rams played this weekend. That Erdogan is starting a slaughterhouse over there with mass graves. Oh, there you go.
So no Azerbaijan talk for
no,
you?
No. This is all I can't tell anyone apart. I just know they all hate each other, and it never really seems to work its way out. That's all. That's all I know. And I can never be as outraged as you'd like me to be.
A turkey sandwich. Turkey is. I want to know what goes on if you do that.
Well, I
looked it up, and it seems as though it translates into rooster of India. So I don't know if that's some sort of a slight. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the turkey is.
That's an insult.
Maybe.
It seems like it.
Maybe if we introduced Thanksgiving into that region of the world, it would solve a lot of the problems. Yeah. I mean, like, who needs Thanksgiving more than that region, you know?
Yeah.
Coming together, joining hands, you
it's
know.
It's hard to be war-torn with a sweet potato pie in your hand.
That's right. I completely agree. Sweet potato pie, bean pie, there's bean pie, that's a like a soul pie, or pumpkin pie. I'm going to tease it. What is bean pie? How do you do bean pie? Sweet potato pie, I get. Have you guys had bean pie?
No.
I like a nice bean. The best soup of them all, I can make a powerful case, is five beans. Seven bean, cloying.
Gilding the lily.
Very good.
Yeah, the thing about bean pies,
your,
it's like...
Your bit is definitely not hyperbole.
It's soul food. It's a soul food pie, and it's like, let's see, so there's pumpkin pie. Yeah, if you guys have ever had it, it's fantastic. Oh. It really
is. It
seems
like a diuretic.
And people that are snobs. They're like, well, bean pie, come on, pumpkin pie, I understand. You ever just eat plain pumpkin pulp?
Gross.
It's disgusting. Yeah, right.
It's a flavorless gourd.
What is less flavorful than just that? So from
when people think pumpkin flavor, they're thinking of the allspice.
They're
and
thinking
the cloves,
of nutmeg.
The cinnamon.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Now I'll tell you, is that the soul food pie? Like is the bean pie the soul food one?
Mashed navy bean, it says.
Yes.
It's good. You guys should try.
I bet it would be good. I can tell I would like that. I love a navy bean.
Let me hit Geico real quick. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, I'm sure. And that's where Geico comes in. You bundle your policies at geico.com. Make it easy to bundle homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do around the house. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. It's easy at geico.com. Get your bundle on at geico.com. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
I vote for sweet potato pie.
Oh, sweet potato, yeah.
By the way,
sweet potato is kind of a soul food one, too. Am I?
It's so like decadent. I don't have it very often. In fact, somebody who lived in the South and then moved to Kansas would make it for us. That's the only time I've ever had it, but it was delicious. Better than pumpkin.
My stepdad, John, likes sweet potatoes but hates yams. And
wow. You could tell in a blind taste test.
I'm like, all of yam is a little bit more of a sweet potato.
I've never understood that.
You know what I mean? It's like saying, I love Claudia Schiffer, but not in heels. No. Sorry.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. Just
Claudia Schiffer, too.
I have no fucking idea where that came from. Point is like, hey, John, if you like fucking sweet potatoes, good news. There's a better version of a sweet potato. It's called a yam. It's like, nah, I don't like it.
I don't abide by that.
That's just being passive aggressive, right?
Well, here's a good visual to go out on. There's this dude named Peter Saltzman, and he's a professional base jumper. But he wasn't happy with just jumping off stuff because some dudes just you got to follow that rush. So he decided that he would get with BMW, and they would engineer, it took 3 years to do, a 26-pound electric jet engine that lets him fly. And when he first tried the suit, he jumped out of this helicopter 10,000 feet in the air and then zipped around the mountains. This looks like a commercial, you know, for BMW because they kind of cut in and out. But he's in the suit.
No.
Not interested?
This is just a propelled squirrel suit.
Yes, it is.
Fly,
it looks like a squirrel
suit. You've
got to
take off from the fucking ground.
Ryan's
he's
right.
He's falling.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's not just falling, though. He levels out.
All right, let's see.
And then goes up.
He's got to gain altitude.
He does. So it looks like he's going to hit a mountain. Then he pushes something. I don't know if you're seeing it kind of choppy like I am, but then he powers up.
Yeah. Now, the problem is the powering up could just be the momentum of coming down.
Oh, you guys are tough crowd.
I know. We're a tough crowd.
If you're going to fly like an airplane or a helicopter or a bird, you got to take off from the ground.
To what end, really? I mean, who gives a good goddamn? At least, like, people, if you want to go run a 50-yard dash to see if you're faster than other human beings, okay, what is this? What is the measurement on this? What's the context for this? Great for you. You jumped out of a plane. Somehow, the people who take their lives put their lives at risk feel like they have the emptiest lives of all.
Well, you know, that's a good point, because another story that I didn't pull because it just seems so stupid was a guy who's like a professional hanger off of shit. I don't know.
Oh, that guy took his pants off.
And he goes, it's not good enough to hang from this, you know, crane. You know the story. Like 3,000 feet in the air, I have to do it naked. So well, they're trying to chase this adrenaline
the
rush.
Most
I don't know.
Impressive part about the dude hanging from the crane was he was hanging from the crane with his pants on and then eventually got his pants off. But obviously you can't pull a hand off undo your belt.
Impressive.
I mean,
yeah,
he got out of his pants hanging from this crane without using his hands. I'm not as jaded as these two. The BMW thing was interesting to me. But I do agree, you know, the self-propelled flight starting at 10,000 feet with the squirrel suit is not quite self-propelled flight. I would like to live in a world, and they have these guys now in these sort of rocket suits and stuff like that. You know, the problem is always the fuel, like how long can you use the fuel for? But it would be... So obviously taking off from the ground would be more interesting, but still visually cool and interesting and all that.
It's Evel Knievel. It's Evel Knievel jumping over Snake River in the rocket. It's like, hey, like he's going to take a chance. He's going to shoot himself 27 feet across this ravine. I'm like, hey, Evel, I don't know if you heard about 6 years ago, some other human beings flew to the moon. Who gives a good goddamn about this nonsense?
I agree. This is my, did you see the squirrel water skiing thing, which is like the squirrel is duct taped to a piece of plywood that's being dragged behind a Ski-Doo. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Yeah. He's not water skiing. He's hanging on for dear life. That's all. And by the way, he's not hanging on to the rope. The rope is tied to an eye hook on the front of the plywood dragging the squirrel.
It's very much back to where we were a few minutes ago, the pumpkin getting outsized credit for it's Aquaman taking all the credit when the fish are the one doing the hard work. The pumpkin gets the credit, but the cinnamon is the star. And of course, my number one example for this is lobster. Oh, it's so delicious. I'll pay whatever they want. Top dollar, whatever the market, the going rate is, whatever it is. You know what the star is? The drawn butter. You know what else tastes good when you dip in drawn butter? Everything. This lobster jive.
I can't wait till you're 80, Shaq, because you are going to be weaponized at that age.
Where does one go from here?
Where does one go? Like, he's at the Golden Corral. It's 4:30. He wants to know why they don't open the carving station until 5. This is an outrage. An outrage.
I'm dressed up like Tommy Lasorda in a baseball uniform for no reason.
You're wearing pajama bottoms and one slipper. You're yelling at people for loading up on melon when there's apples to be had.
Tangerines.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. You want to keep your home safe? Well, how about you go with Simply Safe? No long-term contracts, no hidden fees, no installation costs, and get free home security camera. When you purchase Simply Safe, you do the system at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. The great Sheck can be found in many a podcast, -3 extra points with Cousin Sal, Dave's of Thunder as well, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get the podcast. Facebook, facebook.com/Damashek as well, or send him a tweet at Damashek as well. West Palm Beach, Florida, coming up this weekend, November 20th and 21st. 5 shows. We're doing live shows early, live podcasts early, and then stand-up shows late. Doing matinee with Mark Garagos on Saturday. We're live, Reasonable Doubt. Burbank, Pickwick Bowl, December 12th. Doing a stand-up show out in the parking lot there. I think we're going to do a car show as well. Let's go to AdamCarolla.com to get all the info you need. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Sheck. And Gina and Bald saying, mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And be sure and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get that and everything else at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.